And would the rest of you please open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter, the first of two. While you're opening, please also pay attention to the announcements in your bulletin. Next week after church, there's a fundraiser for the mission team. They've got a praise report. They've got their airfare. Now they're working on their ministry money and food and that kind of thing. So God is at work. I ask you to go to 1 Peter. This past week, the week we've just finished, we would have read, had you been following the reading plan that Pat has been so faithful on, 1 and 2 Peter, 2 Timothy, Jude, Revelation, and 1 John. Those were the text for this week's read. That's a lot of information. That is a whole lot of doctrine and Bible information. And the way we've been reading through it with shall we say, such haste, allows us, as we let our spirit be in tune with His Spirit, to it lets Him speak to us. And that's what I try to do, as Pat has explained, that the things that are highlighted in my reading are some of the things I highlight with you. It's going to be much different next year, and I will explain that in a minute. But as we finish this year, I want to try and recommend a discipline for you. If you haven't been doing this, I can tell you it's something you can learn to do. It's not that hard. And it was really emphasized in my life through the ministry of Jim Muir. Now, some of you remember Jim, who was with us for a bunch of years. He used to play all kinds of instruments up here, and then when I'd be absent, he would speak for me. What a terrific man of the Word he is. But what he likes to do is, if he's taking a book of the Bible, he'll read that book through enough times that he understands, he's able to capture what that book is about in a summary statement. So let me give you the Jim Muir summary statement for 1 and 2 Peter. And if you like to make notes, you can put a star by this title and just put by Jim Muir, not by Skip Heining. But 1 and 2 Peter, Jim summarizes as privileged while suffering. Privileged while suffering. I've heard more than one person acknowledge that when they go through something tough, they come out the other end better. That when we go through some kind of trial or tribulation, we actually experience blessing. And we don't look at the problem as a blessing, we look at the problem as a problem. But we look at the way God shows up, we look at what God does in the circumstance, and we look at what the ultimate result of the whole thing is, and it is blessing. Amen? Last night, Carol and I stopped by the Springs. It's a multi-level retirement home. They have some just retirement section, then they have some that is assisted living section, and then they have some that is memory care section, and then they have the fourth level, which we were at, which was where hospice has been brought in. And we were visiting Keith Claycomb. Now, Keith Claycomb was not only a colonel in the Army, but he was a teacher at OHSU in the medical side of OHSU's dental program. Our very own Norm Matchcheck was a student of Keith Claycomb. Shows you how back this goes. When Keith was 89 years old, I had the privilege of marrying him to Evelyn, who was 92 years old. And the wedding took place at the Springs. Didn't it? Did it take place here? Took place here, and then they lived in the Springs. A few years passed by, and Evelyn went to be with the Lord. And Keith is right there. In fact, I haven't heard this morning whether his graduation has happened or not. But he is days, if not hours, away from being with Jesus. I would like to be minutes away from being with Jesus. No, I'm not going to go kill myself. I don't like the process of getting there. Right? We've lost some others this year. John Soper. Tom Jacobson. Earlier than that, Leonard Wing. This is a part of our lives, folks, is what we would call graduating. And why is it in our culture that we get so down when someone is going so up? I don't know. But the point is that Jim Muir makes, if you read all of 1st and 2nd Peter, see that you are privileged to be able to suffer for Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what's happening to modern Christianity. Modern Christianity's lost that fact that they're privileged. They've lost the fact that we are aliens in a strange land, and that if we are persecuted, that is like a merit badge for the Christian. Hello? Wouldn't you be one? Do you think you could be one if you were in the mall when the gun was pointed at you and they asked you if you were a Christian? Would you be able to one that says, "Hallelujah, bring it on"? That's how we want to be, I think. 2 Timothy, I was going to read this for you. 1 Peter 1. You get the flavor of what he's thinking right at the beginning. Peter, an emissary of Jesus the Anointed One, to God's chosen people, living as aliens, scattered among the unbelievers. In Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. In other words, these Christian people that he's writing to are living among constant persecution among people that don't like them. He says, I'm sending this letter to those who have been selected and destined by God the Father and made holy by God the Spirit, that you may be obedient to Jesus the Anointed and purified by the sprinkling of his blood. May grace and peace beyond all reckoning be yours. Drum roll. May grace and peace be yours. Happy New Year. Huh? Rejoice. You are privileged while suffering. 2 Timothy is all about living today for eternity. Well, if eternity is where I'm headed, how am I supposed to live today? What? Happy? Confident? Full of faith? What? Content? This is a discipline that I say to you. You can learn this discipline. How is it that I should be living? How then shall we live? A famous writer has penned. We need to be those who so understand where God is, how much he cares for us, that we can walk in that kind of confidence, that kind of boldness. Because if things get tougher, if things get harder in America, how are we going to endure? What kind of people are we going to be if the stock market crashes or, you know, there's a revolution of some kind? We want to be those that are, Pat, like the light. We want to be the light in a dark place. We read all of Jude. It's like one chapter. Jude is one of those books of the Bible that's hardly a book at all, but it's one page, or depending if you have large print. Jude is all about, you can summarize Jude by saying it's about false teachers. False teachers. How many of us buy in to some false teaching on occasion? Yes, you do. And I'll tell you, there's this great internet website called Snopes, SNOPES.com. Snopes is a great place to go when someone tells you that so-and-so has done such-and-such in a national scene. You type it in there and find out if it's true or not, because Snopes kind of does the research. There's another organization called PolitiFact that tries to debunk what politicians say. Do you think politicians need debunking? course they do. And what Jude is trying to say to people of the faith is, you see it at work in your society, you see politics at work in your faith, you're going to have people coming in teaching strange things, teaching false doctrines, things other than that Jesus is the Lord. People who will be teaching against the sayings of Christ. Now, what are we to do when that happens? Are we to fight them? Are we to get all mad? No. I think you go to this. Pick up the word. You kind of do what Jesus did when the serpent got to him. He says, well, it says here. This is what it says here. Oh, yeah, well, that's not what that means. Oh, yeah, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that God is love, or does it not mean that God is love? It means that God is love, yes? Does it say that God will judge? It does? Who will judge? What? Is God going to judge? Who will judge? God. Are you to judge? See, connect the dots. Who's the judge? Who will judge? Who should not judge? Thank you. Hebrews, this is almost impossible to summarize. You say the book of Hebrews is one of the great doctrinal books of the entire Bible. Seminaries have not only semesters dedicated to the book of Hebrews, but entire fields of study dedicated to the book of Hebrews. Here's the summary. Jesus, the high priest. I have just said so much. Jesus, it would take us the rest of the day to define who he is, correct? Jesus Christ is the high priest. Why is that relevant? What? King of kings, Lord of lords, but he's the high priest. He is the one that intercedes on our behalf. He goes into the holy holies. In fact, he is the one who has taken and become the sacrifice. Right? So no longer is he the high priest performing the sacrifice. He is the high priest who has become the sacrifice. This is some fantastic stuff. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, which we'll begin this week. Let me give you the 3 Johns, summary of those. 1 John is about Christian fellowship. 2 John is about the Christian family. And 3 John is about Christian hospitality. Now, what's cool about this is if you can capture these summary statements of a book in the Bible and you kind of write it in the margin or at the top, the introductory of chapter 1 of each one of those, it gives you a frame of reference as you read through to have your mind geared to. When I read about this thing that will apply to this title, it begins to all make sense, and the Bible begins to not just be a bunch of distorted separate writings that you don't understand, but it fits all together. The very Word of God showing us how to live. This is spectacular stuff. Next week, we're going to do the 2nd and 3rd John, the book of Revelation. Oh, my goodness, can we do the book of Revelation as a summary? Yes, we can. We'll do that next week. Now, I want to give you I am very excited about next year. Folks ask me every year, what are you going to do for next year? What kind of Bible are we going to read? What will be the reading plan? And for the last 5 years, at least, I think we've read the entire Bible in a year. This year, we're going to read, this coming year, we're going to read the New Testament. Not the Old Testament, the New Testament. We're going to focus on that. Madison, are you ready to go? The Bible contains 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books. Remember, we call them books, but some of them are as brief as a page, like the book of Jude. These 66 books make up your Bible. Next slide. The four Gospels tell the story of Jesus. The Acts tell the Acts of the Apostles of Jesus Christ, if you will, the development of the early church. We are a couple of thousand years beyond the early church, and it's fascinating to me to read the book of Acts and see how it could have been or should have been or was. And it's wonderful to think, can we live today like they used to live? Is that even relevant today? There are 13 letters. We call them letters by Paul. There's the book of Hebrews, the book of James, there's 1st and 2nd Peter, and then we have 4 by John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and of course the book of Revelation. I really like the book of Revelation in the Spanish language the best. Just the title is Apocalipsis, and I just say that with me, Apocalipsis. Yes, as you read that book this week, if you're able to read through Revelation this week, read it with the emphasis on the Apocalipsis. It makes it's just incredible. So we have these 27 New Testament, 21 of them I'm calling doctrinal books, etc. Next slide. Okay, everybody take a big breath. Inhale. Okay, now I realize that I am an incurable salesman. I was born a salesman. I made my living as a salesman, and I am trapped as a salesman. I can't help it. Because when I find a product I like, I want other people to know about it. If I experience something that impacts my life in a positive way, I like telling other people. So I turned down a lot of jobs because I didn't like the product. I probably could have made a whole bunch more money in my life if I was willing to sell a product I didn't like. But I'm committed to liking the products. So for 15 years or more, I sold candles. People say, you do what? I said, I'm a candle salesman. What? How can you make any money as a candle salesman? Billions and billions of candles. I got married. I had to ask for the hand in marriage from my future father-in-law and mother-in-law, and I had to stand in front of them and said, could I marry your daughter? And the father said, how are you going to support my daughter? And I said, well, I'm a salesman. And he smiled. He says, what do you sell? Magazines. Well, how do you sell your magazines? Door to door. Can you imagine if you're the parents of this young girl and you're going to say, yes, you can marry that fool? But I think Bill Brown recognized that I meant business. I loved his daughter, and I was going to support her. And if it had to be the knocking doors to sell magazines, who cared? All of that to say, dear ones, the most exciting read on the planet is the Bible. The minute you start thinking it's boring or confusing or too complicated or not relevant, do this. You ready? You're going to repeat after me. I rebuke me. I rebuke me. This is the information for life, this book. Where on else can you get all the things that are going on in this book? If you're a history buff, it's all history. If you're a science buff, there's more there than you can comprehend. If you're into geography or sociology or psychology or you name the ology, it's in this book. For 2016, we're going to continue to read through God's words. We're going to have a reading plan, a thematic study, and a Q&A, and I'll explain that, Madison. The reading plan will be the New Testament, and it'll take, therefore, about one chapter a day, only 4 to 5 days a week. So no one is going to be able to say to me this week, I didn't have time, without me sending the elders to you to beat you with a stone. If all we're going to read for the year is the 27 books of the New Testament, we have a lot of time. And we'll be able to not just speed read through the thing, but we'll be able to meditate and ponder what saith the Lord as we read about a chapter a day. And if your life is like mine and you have to go 2 or 3 days where you just don't do it, where you come home and you're just so tired, all you want to do is sit in your brown chair and watch the news. And the voices, you should be reading your Bible. Pastor Skip and the elders are going to come get you. Okay, so you miss a couple days. If all you got to do is read 2 chapters or 3 chapters to catch up, no problem. You with me?
Yeah.
Next slide. here's how it will go, and Amanda will continue to put the guide in the bulletin. Jason will have the ability to put this on the website, but it's so simple. From January through September, we're going to study the book of Acts through the book of Revelation. One chapter a day. In October, we'll do the synoptic gospels. That is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's good preparation for what we'll do with November, the book of John. And in December of this coming year, we will concentrate in an Advent celebration. The coming of Jesus Christ. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's Christmas and I'm all ready for Christmas next year. Amen. Next page. Now, sermons will be a little different this year. I think what I'm going to be doing is taking on a more thematic or a topical feel. Some people have pointed out that in the past way we've been doing the scripture that... we haven't really had teaching on marriage. We haven't really had teaching on finance or stewardship. We haven't really had teaching recently on some of these specific doctrinal issues. And we'll be able to concentrate on those kinds of things as we go through the read. We'll have other men preaching during the year in addition to myself, and they will be able to bring some of their favorite topical or doctrinal things to it as well. Next page. New this year, and this is a great risk. Oh boy, I'm going out on the limb. This will be an opportunity for you to send me questions. Questions you might have from your reading or questions you have from your walk. In other words, you're living life. You have questions. You're looking in the Bible or you're reading it and you have these certain questions. What I'm asking you to do, any and all of you, you send me an email. Or if you don't have email, write me a note. Put it in the old snail mail. And I will attempt to respond to those questions. And some of them we may have on a Sunday morning. If it seems like it's a question that could be common to a lot of people, I may address that question. If I think your question is just ridiculous, no, there is no ridiculous question. How many of you teachers have told your students, right, the only bad question is the one you didn't ask, right? So I'm looking forward to using our fellowship and sermon time as a lot more, or at least continuing some interaction. And I am fully prepared to be able to look you in the face, read your question, and say, Steve, I don't know. Okay? I'm not saying I'm the Bible answer man on radio here. I don't know it all. But I would love for us to share what saith the Lord as we're reading, and then what questions we might have. Does that make sense? Is there another one? That's it. The end. I'm excited about this year. It's going to be great. We're going to read the New Testament together. Next Sunday is going to be, I'm going to speak about the Day of Epiphany. How many of you know about the Day of Epiphany? Have you heard about the Day of Epiphany? Some of you don't know anything about Epiphany. January 6th is celebrated in the liturgical churches as the Day of Epiphany. It might be on one of your calendars. It simply is the day that we traditionally now recognize that the wise men appeared and recognized the Christ. Okay? He had been born. They were still traveling. By January 6th, they arrive. And the light dawns, and that will launch us into next year. It's going to be a great year. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Our God reigns.
Amen.
Amen.